Shire. Turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.
Hey there, welcome to Sharkcast, a podcast dedicated to the greatest sporting club in the history of the world, the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks, on location for the start of this podcast at Shark Park, the hallowed turf, the Theatre of Dreams. You wait, I'll introduce you in a minute. Up in the upper ET, on the right-hand side, not where I normally sit usually. Anyway, enough about me, let's talk about us. I'm here with Gary Dover, who is an employee of the Sharks and a new member of the extended Sharkcast family, although he's always been a member of the family. And this episode is going to be a little bit different. We're going to do a bunch of different segments, including one with Teague Wilton coming up as well. So to start with a review of the game, but before the review, Gary Dover, I'm sorry for the long introduction.
That was one of the best introductions I've ever had, and I thank you very much for introing me that way.
How are you going?
I'm going very well. Good to be down here at PointsBet Stadium. Beautiful sunny day. And looking forward to another episode on Sharkcast.
Can you tell me what you're seeing directly across from you as far as construction goes and give the fans an update on what the heck's going on?
Lots of action, which is great. And they've started ripping down all the inside of the league's club. So it's basically a shell over there at the moment. And as you can see, there's a few trucks and things. They're starting to level out a bit of turf. And yeah, they're going to start building. I think they're putting in the concrete slab pretty soon. So everything's sort of getting underway. And yeah, there's nothing in the club at the moment. It's just empty, as you can see through the windows there. But yeah, everything's sort of coming along and they're going to start laying and building soon.
Now, we do have breaking news. And it won't be breaking when you hear this because we're about 8 hours away from hearing this. But the Sharks Cowboys game has been moved to our home away from home at Kogarah. It's going to be a double header. 5:15 will be Sharks Cowboys, then 7:35 will be Titans Raiders. So you'll be hearing about that a lot and reading about that and ticketing information, all that kind of stuff. But in a lot of ways, it's good news for the Sharks and Sharks fans. In some ways, it's not. We'll get into that later on. We were both out at the debacle that was Bankwest Stadium. I say debacle with respect. You know what I'm getting at. We lost the game 28-4, but the scoreline does not even come close to telling the story. We're currently in 12th position. We're 1-2, and it's been a weird start to the year, and this game made it weirder.
It was a very weird game, and as you said, the scoreline doesn't reflect the nature of the game and where the boys sort of ended up. 23 minutes in, we'd already lost three players, and by the second half, we had no bench. So the boys were digging deep. We had front rowers playing on edges and edges playing in the centres, and yeah, a few people out of position by the time the game ended. But you got to be proud of the efforts that the boys put in there on Saturday night.
Absolutely. So looking at the minutes played, Will Kennedy only played 38 minutes. He had concussion. Katoa, I don't know, broken something or other. 23 minutes. I saw him on crutches before. And then Wade Graham played 18 minutes as well. But I look at the front rowers and the middle forwards, Ueli, Woods and Rudolph, 18 minutes each. Jack Williams, 60. Tolman, almost 60. Teague Wilton, 60. Billy Magoulias, 42. Like, it's big minutes for people who don't usually play big minutes.
Big minutes and a big amount of tackles. Woodsy topped the team. I think he made about 48 tackles or something like that. And, yeah, they were working really hard in whatever position they were sort of floating in and out of. And, yeah, it was hard to watch at points, but you've got to be proud of the way the boys dug deep. And, yeah, it was a good game in respect to the effort and what we're sort of building there. It took the Eels, 70 minutes to crack us, really. 10-4 up until that point. So, yeah, unfortunately, the scoreline sort of got away from us there, but you have to be pretty happy with it.
We looked pretty good. We scored first. Nice scrum play. Katoa down the right edge. And I thought Will Kennedy was having another great game. He got injured just before halftime, or came off just before halftime. But it was all happening. It was all there. We were matching them, and they're premiership favourites. And I got to think, if we have 17-17, I think we might even win. So that's disappointing. We've seen a lot come out of it. There's new rules coming in with the 18th man. They're a little bit kind of weird, but at least there's some change. Tell me about who captured your attention from the team. Give me a shout out or two of the players that either performed extraordinary feats or who you thought was amazing. What were your thoughts on the game?
Toby Rudolph, once again, I thought, you know, really laid the platform to start the game. And obviously before all those injuries happened, he was on fire. But in that second half, you could see a few of them starting to lose their legs. And despite that, he was just absolutely a beast. He ran for over 140 metres, three tackle busts, I think he made. So, you know, he was up there in the 30s, 40s with tackles as well. So those big middles I've got to give a shout out to, especially Dugs and Moiser and Chatty. They were sort of directing all the young boys around. They was talking to Shed. Ronnie gave them all a shout out and just said, like, without their sort of leadership and calming nature out on the field, it probably could have got away from them a bit further. But yeah, they just kept it level-headed and kept everyone sort of under control there. But, you know, Connor Tracy started at centre, he played edge, he played fullback. So, yeah, you know, there's that many efforts, it's hard to single anyone out.
Sure.
Teague Wilton in defence, who you'll get to later.
A dumb question, I guess, on my behalf. I also want to give Connor Tracy a shout-out. I thought he was great the whole game. He's down for a few missed tackles, but his defensive technique is really good. He can tackle anything, anyone. He's going to miss some because he's half the size of the guys he's opposing. That's going to happen. But I thought he was dynamic where he needed to be. I thought he was safe where he needed to be. And he continues to be Mr. Utility, which may or may not hinder his career. I've got no idea. But performances like that, full of heart, yeah, he stood out for me as well.
Especially with his pace. Like, you look in attack when we were sort of, you know, nothing doing on that left edge, he'd just spark something and, you know, make a few extra meters around the defensive line. And if he gets one of those balls away a little later or a little earlier in some cases, we're probably running down for another try. So yeah, his efforts were really good. And defensively, that last tackle he made on Fergo when he made the break, obviously Fergo's a pretty big boy, but yeah, you know, he hit him right around the quads and brought him down. So yeah, he had a really good game, Connor, definitely.
Did you go into the sheds at full time?
I did. I was in there straight after the game. Just wanted to hear, you know, what Bomber thought of the performance. And, you know, I had my own thoughts, obviously. But, yeah, just good to hear that, you know, he was really proud of the boys, really proud to be their coach. He's never dealt with anything like that in his 20 years of playing or coaching. And, yeah, the boys, you could tell they were down. They didn't want to lose, obviously. But yeah, there was something else there in the sheds. And, you know, SJ's going around slapping everyone on the back, saying how proud he is of everyone. And it was really good camaraderie in the sheds after the game.
Do you think it's fair, Gary, if you and I were to discuss negatives of the game? I'm just throwing this on you right now. We haven't talked about this. Should we be critiquing this game in a negative way at all, given the circumstances? For example, the kicking game general play wasn't great. But one guy was in charge of that whole operation, and that's part of his job. I'm not defending him, like, that's part of his job. His forwards busted their butts, but there was nowhere to go. They had no legs. The other team had 34 players, we had 13. You're kicking from a certain spot every time. There's not too much you can do with the ball on this occasion. In the first game, he was close to man of the match.
Yeah.
Is it fair that we get into this, or what are your thoughts on that?
It's always fair to critique the game. Like, obviously we lost and there's things that we can learn from that, and the boys know that, and there's little areas within the game that they could have done better despite the adversity that we were facing. But I mean, yeah, everyone's out there busting their guts, probably doing a little bit more than they usually do.
Yeah.
And everyone's getting that fatigue towards the end of the game, and a few kicks didn't go well and a few kicks went to the wrong areas. But it could come down to tired legs. It could come down to trying to spark something in attack. But yeah, there's definitely stuff from the game that we can learn and take from. So critiquing is not necessarily a bad point, because we need to keep growing. We need to win.
My takeaway from that game was Chad needs assistance with his kicks. He needs to take a break every now and then. Matty's not the greatest general play kicker. He can do it. Lost Wade, lost Will Kennedy. I think young Blake needs to step up a bit more, and that's not a criticism, it's just what I think. I love the guy, and I don't know why I'm defending myself. I'm allowed to be critical. But I think that maybe Blake needs to, he could learn from that game and go, well, maybe there's a chance for me to step up. But at the same time, he made 4 million tackles, and it's not like he shirked his responsibility. So that's what I meant by my question before. It's a weird game to analyse.
100%. But also, like, another positive week, after last week's defensive effort on the goal line, we did it again. And that's like a big sticking point from the last year's defensive performances to this year's. We're growing in that area. So when we've got a full side, we're not decimated by injuries halfway through the first half. Mm-hmm. We're going to stick it to these teams, and I can't wait till we can do that.
That leads me to a very interesting subject, one of your favourites. Because last year you were very determined to right the wrongs and stick up for your mate Wade Graham, because he technically missed a bunch of tackles, but technically, made a lot of one-on-ones. So I know it's a passionate subject of yours. After 3 weeks in, the Sharks are still being last year and this year, missing the most tackles. We're averaging 41 misses per game. Interesting, I think we only missed around 32 in this game when we only had like three guys playing. So I don't know what's going on there. But Gary, we have the second best ratio of conceding a try in our own 20. So in other words, we have the second best defense in our own 20, which is what you're talking about. So do you get too concerned about the missed tackle stat, or are you more worried about just the scoreline, really?
Of course it's concerning, but first two games pretty wet, pretty slippery.
I feel like
slippery.
I'm talking a lot. I can't stop talking.
It's good. I love it. First two games pretty wet, pretty slippery.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's harder to make tackles there, but you still need to be making them. And that game against the Eels, we were absolutely smashed and out on our feet. It's probably not a true reflection of the work that's being put in. But then, as you said, our goal line defense and our work within our own 20 is second to none. So, I mean, yeah, it's hard to sort of say where I land this year so far, but I'm still going to defend the boys. I think they've done pretty well, and yeah, we've missed a fair few tackles, and it's not a good thing, but there's other factors at play within those first three games that I think contribute to that.
Yeah, that's a very mature answer. I agree with that. It's a worrying stat to look at.
Stats are just numbers, Shinazi. You're not the numbers guy, aren't you?
Stats put food on people's table, man.
That's true.
Interesting where we go from here. Do you think, and I asked the question of Teague, I think I mucked up the question, you'll hear it later, but do you think that effort will spur us on this week? I mean, we're not traveling, which is good, so that's not going to be an added thing for the guys to worry about. They can just wake up in their own beds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that fatigue and even just that emotion, that high almost, is that going to affect us this week, or will it be productive?
From all the talk in the sheds after the game and around this morning at training and everything like that, like, I think that kind of set the tone for the rest of the season. I think the boys realise now what they can do when they're out on their feet, when they're down on troops, you know, backs against the wall. I think it's a great starting point now to turn our first couple of games around and start, you know, knocking off some top-end teams. So I think from everything I've seen after the game and this week at training, it's nothing but a positive, everything that came out of the sheds after that one.
Well, Gary, I think that might do us for a review. Anything else you want to say? I mean, what was your experience of the stadium like? It's a pretty cool stadium where they run out and the fans are there, and it's very NFL-like.
It is. Bankwest is definitely a state-of-the-art facility, and it's great to watch the footy there. The media box is right up the top. But it's got like basically floor-to-ceiling windows that you can slide open and you feel like you're in the crowd. But yeah, look, it was obviously a disappointing match, and I'm looking forward to this week. We need to knock off the Cowboys, and I definitely encourage everyone in Sydney who might not have been going to the footy to get out and support the boys, because I think we're going to get the win, definitely, and we really need you out there to support them.
Yeah, doubleheader. It's going to be cool.
It is.
It's kind of a nice surprise.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, all the circumstances, but... And we feel for our Queensland supporters as well.
But also, definitely on that point that you've just made, the Queensland supporters, we're going to think of something pretty clever around, you know, paying you back for... We might not have got up there the last 2 years, but we want to give you something for that. So I'm not sure how Rossi and the membership and merchandise team are working on that, but could be a special discount or something that we're looking at to... You know, basically say thanks for supporting us and we're sorry that we couldn't get up there, yeah.
No, but we do feel for Queensland fans. There's been a lot of people who have said, you know, I've been looking forward to this for the first time in a couple of years, seeing the boys, and there was going to be a meet and greet. And of course, there's also fans from Sydney travelling up. They're probably going to lose a bunch of money and things like that. So we are being sympathetic to you people as well.
We had so many community activations in schools and with local groups, and yeah, we were really looking forward to getting up there and having a week up there where we could, you know, interact with the fans that we haven't seen for a long time. And unfortunately, once again, it's going to be COVID that sort of ruins everything. But I'm sure we'll be back there before you know it. And yeah, hopefully we can get up there sooner rather than later.
Hey, Gary, can I trouble you to stick around for like 5 more minutes?
You can.
All right, we'll be back with the news. This is Sharkcast Pod. Sharkcast Radio would not be possible without the generous support of Dyson Logistics.
Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service.
Dyson has a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. Find them online at www.dysonlogistics.com or call them 8399 1844.
Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
Twister, Green, kicks across the park, Sailor's on his own. Oh! Barnett has scored! Richard Barnett has scored! That is incredible!
All right, back with the news, and as we said before, breaking news that the Sharks are playing at Cogra, doubleheader, and we think we're on at 5:15, yeah?
I believe so. I think they're trying to move us forward 15 minutes just to get the other team's warm-ups in before their game. So, yeah, look, it's unfortunate, but it's going to be a good opportunity to watch two games of footy at Cogra, and, yeah, hopefully we get a win, and it's a good day out.
Titans-Raiders is almost the match of the round, so that's going to be fun, and, look, it's going to selfishly boost attendance a little bit as well, which is never a bad thing. And I'm sure that by the time you hear this, there'll be info on all sorts of things like ticketing and times and all that kind of stuff. So not much more we can talk about that. What we can talk about, though, is, Gary, I heard a rumour during the week. I can't remember if it was the guy at the pub or just in the press, but somewhere. Martin Taupau being shopped around and Cronulla allegedly interested, and we're talking for an $800,000 a year figure, a figure that was last thrown at a prop named Andrew Fifita. Martin Taupau is pretty good.
Martin Taupau is pretty good, but do you think he's good enough to be here on that money? Because I'm not sure he is.
I do hesitate at that figure, given past experiences, and also just you have to be like a remarkable prop to be on that kind of money. Now, he's close to that, but he might be getting a bit older. Like maybe 3 years ago, it might have been the right time.
He's 31 or something, isn't he?
I don't know.
So I don't think... I'm not shirking at Martin Taupau. I'm shirking at the $800,000 figure.
So if he was coming on 500, you'd be like, yep, let's do it?
I'd be definitely more open to it. I mean, he's a world-class prop. We know the damage that he can do up front, and you know anything we can do to boost the pack is always a good thing, but yeah, just not at that rumoured figure of $800,000.
It's a no from Gary.
It's a big no from Gary.
Big no from Gary.
I'll play in the middle for $100,000.
There's not much here.
Doesn't mean I'm not going to make any damage out there in Shinaz.
Didn't say that.
Credit.
We do have Aaron Woods coming off contract. Yep. He's on close to that money, and we don't know whether he's going to be re-signed or not. He very well might be. But it could be a like-for-like trade in that kind of same... Or, you know, you're paying a little bit more for Taupau, but...
Yeah, they're similar players with similar styles, obviously, you know...
I've got to stop you there. They're not similar styles.
Well, in a way, they are. Wow. Get the ball, tuck it on the arm, run forward.
Make your tackles.
Yeah, run forward. One runs backwards.
Yeah, that's true. We won't go there, but...
That's not a slight. That's his style. Get the offload.
I know. As we mentioned last week on the show, we got 16 guys off contract. It's like half our squad is off contract. Yeah. They're all going to be looking for more money, not less. Yeah. Who do we keep? Who do we not? And what sort of positions do we need to fill once we've, you know, put those spots together with who's already here?
I do agree with you on the price figure for a prop, though. It is a concern.
Too excessive. $800,000 for a prop these days is way too excessive unless you're getting a Payne Haas, a David Fifita type player.
Speaking of players being shopped around, we've seen that South Sydney's Adam Reynolds is in a contract dispute with... I'm just pausing because I can see Blake Braley and my heart's beating faster.
There's the man who will shore up the minerals.
Franklin Pele.
Next year, if not this year.
He's eating a live chicken as we speak.
But he's big. Like, he's standing next to Nene McDonald right there.
No,
he's
I can...
6 foot something.
I'm a Pele guy.
And he's massive.
I'm pushing for him to play this week. He's been naming the extended bench, but he is a big kid, and he's only a kid.
And he's the nicest kid ever.
Is he?
He is so nice.
All right, let's give him $800,000 instead.
Done.
Adam Reynolds.
Yes.
Contract dispute. Supposedly being shopped around to the Cowboys, who need halves. Our halfback, Chad Townsend, was also mentioned in a conversation by Brent Reed, who's a reputable journalist, as to being looked at by the Cowboys. Chad's here for at least another year or two. He's got, what's the word?
It's a player option. Contract has a 2-year player option, which I'm not sure of the mechanics behind that, but I believe it's kind of his choice if he stays or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got 2 more years, if Chad wants to stay, that he's on contract.
You know Chad very well. I know him a tiny bit. I don't see him wanting to leave.
I don't think he'd leave, and I don't see why he would, yeah.
I guess my point was, Adam Reynolds to the Sharks will be spoken about at some point. He would be commanding big money given what he's done in the game and what he's still doing in the game. Do we need to just put the kibosh on that because we've got a halfback? Could they play together or are they too much the same player?
I feel like they're too much the same player. I feel like for Chad to be at the level he needs to be at, he needs someone like a Sean Johnson beside him, not an Adam Reynolds, which is obviously we're missing that a little bit this year, and Moyes is kind of easing into the season with his history of injuries, so we're just waiting for him to kick on. But you look back at 2018 when it was Chad and Moyes, and we got all the way through to nearly a grand final qualifier. So, you know, once it starts clicking and everything's kind of working in our favour, not decimated by injuries or playing in the wet, I think those two, you know, they'll build the season nicely in this first half of the year.
Lastly in the news, Gary, mainly because of the Cronulla Sharks, a new rule has come in, a new legislation for week five, round five of the NRL, and that's the 18th man scenario. There's a lot of asterisks next to it. You have to have three HIAs in the one game. It's the player is a development player, emerging player, whatever you want to call it. They're still working out the finer details. I'm a fan of definitely having the extra option there. I think they're going about it the wrong way. I think they're being a bit too wishy-washy about it. I think one head knock, one HIA is enough to bring on an 18th guy. The whole you have to have three and it has to be this freakish incident is ridiculous. It's about player welfare, and to a lesser point, it's about the spectacle for the fans and for the teams to compete at a fair level. I think it's almost ridiculous that you have to wait till three guys are knocked out for the 18th guy to come on. That's just my opinion. I would just go, Gary's got a HIA, he can't compete anymore, Franklin Pele is going to replace him a prop, come on in. But that's just my opinion. They're worried about rorting the game and all this sort of stuff, which is just, I know it happens, but if I was the NRL, I'd be more concerned about making sure they don't rort it rather than not allow players to have that kind of comfort.
It's not your opinion, Chinazzi. I think it's the opinion of a lot of people, and it's definitely my opinion, because if they're concerned about rorting within the game, look at players staying down. Clint Gutherson the other week winked at his mates. Like, they're already rorting the system, let's be honest. So, three is probably an excessive number. How many times has that happened in a game where three players have failed HIAs?
Once.
So, basically one or two I'd be happy with. And this whole emerging player thing, I just don't understand, because those guys are going to want to get game time playing for the Jets, playing for Flegg, playing in their competitions.
They are going to rotate them week to week, they said, which is a fair answer.
Yeah, I just still think that if you've got your 21-man squad, that's your guys you can pick from. You don't need to bring in an emerging player from that. We've already got the extended bench there for a reason.
Yeah, it's a weird twist. It's a weird twist in the story somehow. Because let's face it, the emerging player, with all respect, is probably eventually going to be a bigger star, possibly, than the guy who's in your number 21, if you know what I'm getting at.
But it's also like these guys on development contracts or emerging players, they're maybe not at an NRL level, which is why they're on a development contract.
Yes.
So just throwing them in to a game that they've already quickened up the game for entertainment value. There's players going down left, right and centre, not just HIAs, but other injuries within the game.
Yeah.
Then you're going to throw in a young guy who's probably never played before just to make up the numbers. It kind of doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad they're doing something about it, but I think that the current thought is a little bit, it's just like a fairy tale. It's make-believe. It's like they've responded because the fans and I guess some of the clubs are blown up, but they've kind of responded with a really strange answer. So, I mean, let's watch this space. We'll see what happens. Maybe they'll tinker with it.
I get why they've done it so quickly. Obviously,
yeah, they had to.
You know, yeah, the Raiders game before our game last week, they had three guys go down.
Yeah.
We had our whole bench go down. Like, they had to put something in place, but I think that's what they've done. They've just rushed something to put it in place, and now they kind of need to nut out the finer details and go from there.
I'm not going to name the media sources, but all week hearing the words attrition and braveness and toughness, just I've had enough. You know, this is 2021. I'm a man of the past myself, but this is 2021 and it's about player welfare. And if you think these guys aren't brave enough as it is, now they've got to like you know, they got to play for 80 minutes when usually they're playing for 40. It's a stretch. It's a real stretch. So we'll see what happens with that, Gary. That's about all the news I got for you, I think. You got any breaking news here at Shark Park? Any rumours, gossip?
Should we create one? We could always create a rumour.
Yeah, go.
I am going to sign a base NRL contract and play in the front row next to Franklin Pele this week.
You probably could, because he's so big he would just take care of you.
I would lean heavily on his runs and his tackles for me to perform at my best.
Definitely. And then he would eat you.
No, look, there's nothing much happening around here at the moment, but obviously that disappointing news that we're not going up the Sunshine Coast is the big one. So stay tuned and we'll have some more information out to, well, probably now by the time you're listening to this, we'll have some information out on, you know, how ticketing is going to work or what members can get in. And yeah, we'll go from there.
All right, Gary, thanks for your time. We will say goodbye to you. Listeners, don't turn off. Teague Wilton's coming up and we'll look at some of your letters and preview of the Cowboys game as well. So stick with us. But thanks, Gary, and we'll see you probably in the next 3 or 4 weeks on Sharkcast in a full episode capacity. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. Would love to. Thanks for having me once again. And yeah, see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, Gary.
The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking, and is the best venue around for lunch, dinner, casual catch-up with friends or function.
They always show NRL games live on the big screens, and Sunday arvos are superb with live acoustic music in the beer garden while the boats frame the backdrop. And you mean I love acoustic music, you know that?
Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights, serving great food, and if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free
garlic bread, baby.
The RMYC Port Hacking, Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or check out their Facebook feed to see what's on.
Scrum packs on the right side, they go the blinders. Here's Gallup, inside pass to Barber, it's a set play, and it's a Cronulla try! The Sharks are in! They have saved the play for the grand final, a play we have not seen all year.
Okay, Sharkcast at the Sharks training with Teague Wilton. Teague, how you going?
Yeah, very good, thanks.
Thanks for taking the time. How did you find playing last week in such a extraordinary game?
I really enjoyed it, playing with the boys when we're all turning up for each other in an intense game. Obviously, would have liked to get the win, but we took a lot away from it.
Have you ever seen or experienced such a thing? Like, have you played in a game like that before where the whole bench goes down?
No, I've never seen it or played in a game like that. Yeah. It was pretty intense. I think we were just trying to make ends meet by the end there.
All the fans are proud of the effort. And you can sort of see the writing on the wall. You can only defend for so long with so many players. Give us a bit of a background, though, because a lot of our fans don't know your history.
Yep.
Grew up in Narooma?
Yeah, grew up on the far south coast of Narooma. And then when I turned 17, I moved up to Cronulla to play footy up here for SG Ball and went to Endeavour High School. And then, I've been with the club ever since and kind of progressed through the grades and then, was lucky enough to end up in first grade.
I don't know if luck's got a lot to do with it. I think it's hard work and dedication. And you've captained reps at a lower grade. Tell us about that experience.
It was an awesome experience. I was, again, lucky enough to be captain of our under-20s team when we won the comp and then the under-22 South Wales team that year. And we had some success there too. We ended up winning our game. So, yeah, just had a bit of fun there.
And how's it been? Like, I mean, for feeders around here, all these superstars, you came to the club in what year did you say? Like, what year did you kind of start training with these guys?
I started training with first grade at the back end of 2019.
Okay, so still a bunch of superstars from the glorious 2016 season. How have they taken you under their wing?
Well, as an edgeback row, I think just mainly by watching Wado and how he holds himself and his approach to footy, and it's more just through their actions more than words, and just watching how they approach the week and their professionalism, you take a lot from it.
Okay. And famous uncle, is that correct?
Somewhat.
I mean, without getting too personal, has John been in your life throughout your life? Are you guys close before you came here? Like, what was the relationship like?
Well, living down in Narooma as a kid, 4.5 hours away, and Bomber's obviously playing full-time NRL, we didn't see each other too much or whatever, but there's still a good, strong relationship there, nephew and uncle, and we definitely share a good bond, for sure.
Is it at all difficult working under his wing, having that relationship, or is it just natural to you now?
No, I don't think it's difficult at all, really. I think we're all grown men. You can honestly tell each other how it is, and you understand where you need to be at. And it's just, yeah, we operate on a professional base when we're at footy. Yeah.
And who did you support growing up?
I didn't really have a locked-on team. I probably went for whoever Bomber was playing for, to be honest. Yeah, I didn't. Really.
Which is like four or five clubs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my main favourite for a bit there was the Tigers, and then it obviously ended up, I went for the Sharkies since I got a bit older.
And tell us about your time at Endeavour. How was that? Because it's quite a renowned rugby league school.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was a good time for me to really hone in on my footy skill. Being first time going to an elite sporting school. And Dave Hallett here, who was my SG ball coach, but he was also our school coach. So I really enjoyed learning underneath him. He's one of the best coaches I've ever had. So he was at Endeavour. So he helped me mold me into the player I am today. So yeah, it was good.
Can you tell me a bit about your debut and what it was like that week? Like, when did you find out you were playing?
I found out pretty early in the week, actually. It was on our day off, maybe Tuesday, I think it was. And Bomber called me into his office, and then I come in and sat down, and him and Wado sat in his office with me, and they told me I was getting a start. And then, so I had the full week to prepare. I was pretty nervous going into it. And then it ended up being a really good game against South Dragons, local derby. Yep. And we ended up edging out the win. So it was an awesome experience. It was really good, especially the way the game was played. And then to get the win on top of it was unreal.
And so I've spoken to a bunch of the players this off-season. They've told me how different the training was. It's a bit more intense, different ways of doing things. How have you found the off-season leading into 2021?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's definitely been higher intensity, especially with our conditioning and stuff. But I think it takes real confidence into the season knowing you've put the work in. So now we're reaping the rewards from it. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
And we've really need to rely on that, because the first 2 weeks were in muddy, grinding affairs. Last week we were down to 14 players, or 13 players. Without that training this year, it could have been a lot worse, right?
Oh, for sure. I think our new defensive systems and just our conditioning, that showed in the para game how we just kept turning up for each other. And that was with 13 players. So when we had the full 17, we hope to put in like full performances in intense games. And I think we definitely have the conditioning and stuff to back it up now.
How do we look this week, T, going into the game against the Cowboys? Is that defensive effort and the effort overall, it's going to go one of two ways. It's going to lift you to higher powers and just be better, or is there a chance you're just going to come out tired and flat given what you've been through?
I don't think there's any chance we're going to come out tired and flat. We know this is a massive game for us, and we really want to get the win, and the boys want to take the intensity from the para game, but it means nothing if we don't get the win this week. So I think we're all prepared to come out firing.
And preferred position, left edge, or are you harbouring some secret to be a centre?
Yeah, my preferred position in a perfect world, I do play left edge. That's probably a specialty, but I'll play wherever you put me. I can play in the middle or centre. It doesn't bother me at the moment, especially when you have someone like Wade there. I'm happy to play wherever you put me.
That's a very positive attitude. How have you found the new rules this year?
I don't know if you can tell it's too much quicker. I think the boys in the middle will tell you it's a bit quicker. But when I played on Saturday, because our conditioning has gone up and the training's kind of changed, you adapt to it, so it feels pretty similar. So I find it all right.
Tell me about where you think we're going to end up this year.
I think we've got a great team, and I'm always one to aim higher. If we don't finish in the top four, I'd be disappointed. I think all the boys would. I think we got really high standards for ourselves this year, regardless of who plays. If you get the luck with injuries or whatever, I think we expect to finish good and finish high on the ladder.
Okay. One more question we ask all the players and guests, and it's to do with music.
Music.
So I would like to know a favourite artist, act, band, whatever you like. Preferably all time, but what are your thoughts?
Fair enough. Yeah, I probably prefer a bit more laid back, kind of cruisy music. Yeah. I think my all time favourite, if I had to listen to one band for the rest of my life, would probably be Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
And just, yeah.
Not quite laid back.
Not quite laid back, but they got some songs in there that are a bit cruisy, and then they also have some pretty hyper songs. But
have you seen them play live?
No, I haven't. I'm filthy. I haven't got to see them live yet. And obviously, the last year, they haven't been playing any live gigs or whatever, but I'd love to get to see them.
And favourite album, song,
there? No, I don't really have a favourite, to be honest. Okay. I kind of like all their stuff, yeah.
All right. Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't know if you've had that one on the show before, but it's valid. Teague, thanks for your time. Go get the W on the weekend. and hopefully talk to you again soon. Thanks, man.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks,
cheers,
brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks for that.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Buying or selling a property is one of the most stressful undertakings that you can do in your entire life. Luckily, Sharkcast Radio is supported by one of the best and most honest real estate agents in the Sutherland Shire market and is an expert in the North Caringbah region. I sold my property with Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate and could not have been happier with the outcome. Call Jason on 0410-417-450. That's Jason from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate, 0410-417-450.
They are dancing in the streets of Cronulla even now, from Caringbah to Sutherland to Miranda.
All right, welcome to the letters section. Just a quick shout-out. Thank you to Teague Wilton and Rob Willis for the hook-up to the interview at Sharks Media today. Nice young fellow and terrific future ahead for him. I think he's a really, really good prospect. At Sharkcast Pod on the social medias, sharkcastpod@gmail.com for all your correspondence. Thanks so much, everyone, for being in touch. There's been a chunk of great feedback this week, both in regards to letters and just saying g'day. So I really appreciate it and definitely reply to all of you. First up is Owen. Owen says, Haroti, if he's on Hammer's wing, I don't fancy our catch-up chances on a line break. That said, we should beat the Cowboys. There's nothing in their halves that is too exciting, and it's just a case of matching the effort. I'm not sure about just matching their effort, Owen. I think it might take a bit more than that. The Cowboys are under a lot of pressure themselves, so it's probably going to take a bit more than just matching the effort, in my opinion. As far as Haroti goes, I think that they might be matching one another, he and the Hammer. See how they take the field on Saturday. But yeah, Haroti's going to have to step up in defence and he's going to need some assistance, which is his teammate's duty of care as well. So you can't doubt that Haroti's efforts are A+. So he'll come in with a lot of enthusiasm and hopefully he can hold the Hammer out. Hammer is a big talent. My question is a process one. Had Bomber gone for broke and say wanted Iroh to go to the wing, as he's not in our top 30, what would have needed to happen and how could it have happened? Would we need exemptions? Would we have to prove that we needed him? Or could we have elected to upgrade Iroh without an exemption to the 30? Because from what I can see, we only have 28 players registered. I spoke to Rob at the Sharks and he confirmed that there's no big process there if they want to bring someone through at the moment. So in their current situation with the numbers they have both in the top 30 and salary cap, all that would need to happen is they offer someone, in this example that you've given Iroh, a contract and he agrees to it, the NRL agree to it, and he's eligible to play. That's the only process at the moment the Sharks would have to go through. Iroh is a terrific young prospect. He started out in Flegg this year and then I think he's played some New South Wales Cup and he's only young, but he looks pretty solid. So hopefully we see more of him in the future. But I hope that answers your question, Owen. And thanks as always for being in touch. Next up, we have Caleb. Mixed emotions from Saturday's loss to Para. I was extremely impressed at the defensive intensity and application of our makeshift lineup once we lost the four players to injury. I feel like I could go one of two ways. The first is what most people are saying, that it sets the tone for the rest of the year. There are no excuses defensively anymore. On the other hand, I'm nervous about this week. I can't help but wonder if the way the game ended with Parra piling on the points and celebrating like it was a grand final, it might have deflated the boys and undone all the mental gains they'd earned over the previous 50 minutes. They would have expended a huge amount of physical and emotional energy, and you often see clubs fail to get up the week after those sort of games. I wonder if Caleb's referring to the Minneapolis Miracle in the NFL. Add to that the fact that our opponent has been caned by the media this week and swung the axe in the selection process. This is the sort of game we have lost the last few years. Cronullified is what you're talking about, Caleb. I asked the same question to Teague Wilton. I asked the same question to Gary Dover before. They're both of the opinion that it will set the tone for the rest of the year and there are no more excuses. I relate more to what you're saying about being flat after such a high energy performance. But coaching staff know what they're doing. I'm going to back him in here and say they're going to be up for this game. It's at Kogra. They're not traveling. They're sleeping in their own beds. They're with their families. And I think that advantage Cronulla, given that we're playing at Cogra now. Caleb also says, as an aside, I thought Chad's kicking options on the weekend were horrendous. The amount of times he kicked early in the tackle count when our kick chase wasn't ready and then had to expend precious energy catching up was extraordinary. Chad just gave the Eels pressure-free possession and free meters. His kick options are normally pretty good. I don't know if he thought he had to be more creative with Bubba and Wade out or if it was just fatigue, but we can't keep taking poor kick options, especially with Valentine Holmes returning the ball this week. Ah, Valentine, my old friend. It was noticeable to all, Caleb, that the kicking game was way off where it needed to be. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Fatigue would have been a factor. We discussed it in the opening segment where Chad was doing the majority of the kicking the entire game, and he's up for that normally. It's part of his job, part of his DNA. But given the conditions, given extraordinary circumstances, I think that goes out the window a little bit. I think you allow for a bit more there, but good kicking game might have been a difference. Thank you, Caleb. Next up, we have Joanne, and she says, thanks so much for your time and effort in making a great podcast. Mainstream media, including commentators, rarely give us any valuable insight into our club. I often wonder if I'm watching another game to them. Thank you, Joanne. Much appreciated. Thank you. I was proud of the effort our boys put in on Saturday night, and thank you for your emergency podcast as well. I'm not a Chad basher or any other member of the team, nor am I an expert on the game. Welcome to the club, Joanne. What I wanted to ask about is management of the second half. Chad's management. He seemed to just go on with his game plans as if nothing had happened. Why didn't he kick for touch to give our big men a breather? Early kicks might work with fresh legs that can force errors and keep the other team pinned in their half, but it seemed ridiculous on Saturday night. Best wishes, Joanne. Up, up. Joanne, it's a popular subject this week, and I don't really have the answers. I do think fatigue played a part. You may be right. Maybe it was a bit of routine and not differentiating between a normal game and the circumstances we're in, because for the first hour, we're right in that game. And maybe it felt like that to Chad and the players. Maybe he thought this is another week, and maybe it didn't cross his mind at certain times that they were down to 13 men. I've never been in that position, so I can't speak for what it's like. But definitely the kicking was probably the worst aspect of our game on the weekend. And I would expect a very big improvement this week. I do also think and am of the belief that you can't just have one person kicking the ball the entire game. It definitely becomes too obvious. He becomes a target and makes the kicking game a lot harder. So hopefully this week Will gets on the field. Hopefully Wade gets on the field. Hopefully Blake Brayley kicks more and the options will be a bit more varied. Joanne, thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate it. Nathan writes to us, hey Sam, hope you're well. My question is, do you think the new rules for the 2021 season to speed up the game are doing more harm than good? I'm all for a fast game is a good game, but I don't want to see it turn into a touch football match. Thanks again for the pods. Thank you, Nathan, for listening and for your very loyal support. What do I think about this? I wouldn't want it to be any faster, I'll put it that way. I think that from an entertainment point of view, the games have been mostly pretty good. They've been a bit more theatrical, entertaining, which is what a lot of people want. I don't mind the game being slowed down a little bit, I've got to tell you. I didn't think it needed speeding up that much. And I'm very much of the belief that technology should be used when needed, and that's referring to getting all the rules and decisions right, which does slow down the game. So that's where I kind of stand on that opinion. I don't mind the quick penalties and the restarts as long as they're done intelligently and the same for both teams. I think that, and also week in, week out over the eight games, there has to be a routine to them. You can't just have different referees with different interpretations. I think then if we're all under the one umbrella and the same mindset, they would make it a bit better than what it is now. As far as the injuries go and the head clashes, the NRL has never been more vigilant on concussion, which is wonderful. and they need to be for lots of different reasons. So I think that we're probably seeing more concussions being displayed to us. I don't know if there's more concussions actually happening. They probably just weren't being reported or being as treated as well as they are this year. But quicker game, more fatigue, there's going to be more injuries because that's just how the body reacts. It reacts without thinking, and sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. So I probably, Nathan, could do with it being a bit slower, but I'm a pretty slow guy, so that's where I stand. Question from Dr. Cameron Webb. What's the Sharks situation with salary cap these days following Sherry's decision? Does that mean some spare cash for mid-season pickups? I spoke with Rob Willis just before about this, Cameron, and Sherry's cap was never used this year. Like, he wasn't being paid. He was in the top 30, but because he wasn't able to be the employee that he had to be because of the punishments, they didn't actually have to pay him. But his name was in the top 30 for different reasons. That money is freed up. So with that money and the money of the 16 other guys coming off contract, there's going to be a fair bit in the kitty. And yes, that money can be used for a mid-season pickup. And they are looking at some outside backs, and they are looking possibly at a hooker as well. So we'll see what happens there. Thank you for your correspondence, Cameron. I missed a question from Wade last week, and I apologize for that. He's talking about the round one clash against the Dragons. He says, Matt Dufty's try shouldn't have happened that easy in the first place in first grade. Jack Williams wasn't even on the field for that long, and he was walking, being lazy on the inside, and got found out big time. That play right there would be enough for me to give him a rest for a few weeks. Overall, though, I am enjoying the season, and especially Will Kennedy. Yeah, Wade, I mean, we've talked about the middle being the weakness in defense for a couple of years now. And this year, it's been a similar pattern, not as bad, but incidents like that are not good to watch. We talked about it on last week's show a little bit, where there are different circumstances as to why the guy in the middle ends up chasing the attacker. But you make good points. I think you'll find that given the injury crisis at the moment, Bomber doesn't have a lot of options for him to tinker with. I think when the whole crew's back, you might see some changes there based purely on form. Whereas I think at the moment, and this is just me speculating, but I think it's based on, sure, a little bit of form, but also the fact that there's guys that are able-bodied and ready to go out there and play. So see what happens there. Thanks, as always, for your correspondence. And lastly, a very cool topic and question from Lynn, and we're going to address this next week when I am talking with someone else, another guest host, because I figure just me talking about it on my own might not be exactly a fair and open discussion. But basically, it's a topic about getting people to the games and what people want and what puts them off going to games. It's a very interesting subject. I do thank you, Lynn, for raising it. We're going to discuss that next week. I will leave it in my reminders, and that's what we're going to do. Thank you very much for being in touch. And I think, if I'm correct, that is all the mail I have right now. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com. DM us if you like on the social medias. Thanks so much for being in touch. Much appreciated. I say that a lot, but I mean it a lot. And back after this break to talk about the Cowboys game. Up, up.
Campbell. Oh, Preston gets it away. Matthew Johns celebrates his debut with the Sharks. But Preston Campbell opened them up.
This week, the late change at Kogra. Cronulla Sharks v. the North Queensland Cowboys. I believe it's a 5:15 kickoff. Double check that, please. Make sure you get to the ground in time. Don't just think everything's going to be sweet. Get there in time. Allow time. The team for this week is Will Kennedy at fullback. The wingers, Marwini Haroti comes in on the wing with Ronaldo. Centres, Josh Dugan and Connor Tracy stays in the centres. Halves are Matt Moylan and Chad Townsend. Front row stays the same. Braden Hamlin-Ueli, Blake Braley and Aaron Woods. Teague Wilton comes into the back row. Wade Graham has been listed to start and Toby Rudolph to lock the scrum. Immediate interchange, bench. Braden Trindle comes in for the first time this year. Aidan Tolman, Jack Williams, Billy Magoulias. Extended bench, possibly for the first time this year, Franklin Pele in 18, Nene McDonald, Andrew Fifita, and Jensen Taumapia. Also for the first time, I believe, young Jensen. So, they're missing Katoa through injury. They're missing Britton Nakora, who was injured and also suspended, I think, for 2 weeks. Bit of a different looking team. The reserve list is a bit different. The extended bench is a bit different. What does this mean? I'm of the opinion that if the boys pass their concussion tests, Will Kennedy and Wade Graham, I'm of the opinion you will see 1 to 17. I don't see Pele coming in. I don't see Fifita coming in. McDonald would be on standby, Nene McDonald. Jensen, I don't see coming in at the moment either. I think Franklin Pele and Jensen have big futures ahead of them, but they're not quite ready for first grade. I think Pele's probably ahead of Jensen. So everyone who's talking about Jensen coming in, I think it's a bit too soon, but he'll get there. He's a good talent, that's for sure. Cowboys. They've dropped Jake Clifford, Easton Masters, and Mitchell Dunn. My boyfriend Valentine Holmes moves back to fullback. Ben Hampton moves to halfback. So the halves are Drinkwater and Hampton. It's a team under pressure, and they need to win. Their coach is one angry hombre, Todd Payton. My gosh. So they've got everything to play for, but I do look at our team and I look at their team and I feel like we can get the job done. Cronulla has its best current win record against North Queensland, winning 64% of its matches. We've won the past five. We're aiming for 6 straight wins for just the second time against the Cowboys. It also happened between 97 and 2003. The Cowboys have failed to score over 20 points in each of the past 12 matches against us. So let's score a few points and let's defend and let's win. Let's go out and be winning at halftime, please. We've won 11 of 14 matches when leading at halftime or level. But we've won none of 10 matches when trailing at the break. We don't like to be behind at the break. This year, the Cowboys have been outscored 93-26, and they've conceded the second most points in the NRL. They're ranked in the bottom three for points scored, tries scored, and run meters. Their defense is in the bottom three for points conceded, tries conceded, line breaks conceded, and offloads conceded. They have the second worst completion rate and the second most penalties conceded. If Wade Graham takes the field, he will move into equal seventh as Cronulla's most capped player alongside the great Greg Pearce on 210 games. So Wade is quietly moving up that most played for Cronulla list. We oppose young Valentine Holmes. He was once the future. He played 105 games for us. He scored 66 tries, including 22 in 2018, which is the most for the club in a season. And he helped win them its first ever premiership. He has never scored a try against Cronulla. Joshy Dugan's aiming for his 100th win in the NRL in what will be his 211th match. And here's a little bit of information for you. John Morris will coach his 50th NRL match. He and the Cowboys coach Todd Payton played 57 matches together from 2007 to 2009 at the West Tigers. So they might have a quiet beverage afterwards, you might think. Although I think Todd Payton might be a bit of a whiskey drinker. He's got the blues, man. It's disappointing that the game will not be in Queensland. I think that the fans will be really, really disappointed. I know they will be. A lot of fans were travelling from New South Wales, but I think more importantly, a lot of people from around Queensland were travelling to the Sunshine Coast. They'd made plans. Whether they get their money back, I've got no idea. They're not going to have that experience. Hopefully the club can make it up to them. A nice touch might be to move one of the home games from Cogra later in the year up to the Sunshine Coast, but that's just a quick thought that I had. Having said that, advantage Cronulla. Playing just over the bridge, familiar routine, less responsibility to do the community work this week, which I'm not saying they shouldn't be doing, but it just means more time to focus on the game. They need to win. They need to get back to 2-2. They need to beat teams that they should be beating, and that's the Cowboys. So don't take them lightly. Play hard, play aggressive, have a bit of fun, get the 2 points, move on. Thanks everyone for listening, really appreciate it. Can't say it enough. Your support this year has been fantastic, and hopefully we can make it up to you with interesting episodes once or twice a week for you guys where possible. Thanks very much to Dyson Logistics, Jason Hawes at Crips and Crips, and the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking for supporting us. Much appreciated. See you out of the game. Up, up. Sharkies! Sharkies!
Fafita tries to crash his way out, but he does! Fafita got the ball over the line!
And to all you people back in the Shire, turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy!